Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, welcome, dear listening audience, peace and blessings be upon you all. We say in Arabic, Assalamu alaikum. And this greeting is a greeting that has a lot of implications. First, we are invoking Allah, our Creator, to instill blessings and peace in the lives of the person we are greeting. And we are also reminding ourselves and others and the persons being greeted that we are obligated to keep the peace. Peace is an obligation on us. And in a world so full of turmoil and dissension and ignorance, evil, it's an essential we should cherish that Allah has led us through that through His Prophet and established these valuable traditions and practices that we have in Islam. And I call them the Mighty Five. I've heard others mention them as such, that these five principles, the principle of Tawheed, we would was we heard earlier being discussed on Imam Kareem program, the oneness of the Creator and the oneness of his creation. You know, this is a revolutionary idea. When this came up on the planet, it revolutionized the human family to eliminate a false concept that there were sun was creation, the stars were creation, the moon was creation, and our father Ibrahim alayhi salam, peace and blessings upon our prophet Abraham. He was the foremost in deciphering that puzzle and bringing the oneness, bringing the idea of oneness, and the establishment of prayer. You know, I developed an Islamic study program where we were teaching how the world is commenting on how the world is looking for peace and meditation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us five times a day where we are obligated to leave this world's life in a sense and concentrate on who created the life. Leave our small troubling life, troubling issues. I use that term. And then concentrate on the Creator who is bigger and better. Allahu Akbar, who's bigger and better. And in prayer and force ourselves. We are under obligation to force ourselves to leave and not be diverted back to what the light bill got to be paid, or the rent, or the mortgage got to be paid, etc. Just come away from that for a small time in the day and concentrate on and be thankful that Allah has created this world to yield up its utilities for you. Yes, and charity, we call this the cash obligation to help the poor. And fast in the month of Ramadan, which we just came off this blessed month of fasting, which we're going to talk about today in terms of its discipline, its disciplined approach to bringing the human being back to its natural and original pattern that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created when he created the universe, how we are connected to this oneness, this concept of oneness in creation, and there's an original pattern for the human being to live by. And it was mentioned, I think Imam Kareem even mentioned a portion of that this morning when he was talking about the Furqan, the concept of Furqan. Allah created what is guidance from what is not guidance. That's it. That's given to us when Allah addressed the month of Ramadan, that he's in the chapter 2, verse, I think it's 185 in the Quran, where Allah talks about the clear evidence. The month of Ramadan is the month in which the Quran was revealed for the human family, And it makes sure that in these instances, Allah talk about Annas, the human family, the human beings, not just Muslims or believers, disbelievers. He talks about all of us, put us all in one batch, that he revealed the Holy Quran for human beings, and that it distinguishes what is guidance from what is not guidance, the Furqan. What is guidance from what is not guidance? So we have these concepts, very powerful concepts in our religious language and practices, and these are practices. These things we are talking about now, we are obligated to practice them. We are under obligation. When we say we believe in Allah, we are under obligation to practice these things, and the practice of these things is our salvation. We know the Christians have that idea of, I've been saved. If we latch on to these principles, and Hajj is the last one where we visit that little cubicle house in Mecca, rectangular shape house where we, what that is an orientation for a focus for us to focus on as a Qibla, it's called. It's called our Qibla, but it's more a direction of focus for us with a lot of meaning in it. So we're gonna now get started, dear listening audience. Again, welcome. I'd like to do this little brief for our non-Muslim friends and also for to remind our Muslim listeners of how this religion is structured. And, you know, we're gonna talk about the ending of Ramadan, in the middle of how Ramadan prepares us for, through prayer, contemplation on our best behavior and developing that discipline to bring us through and inshallah bring us to a new beginning, which we are starting now in this month of Shawwal, the 10th month in the lunar calendar. Ramadan, it comes in the 9th month. So we are in the 10th month of the lunar calendar, and that's when we see that new moon, the first symbol of the new month. So welcome, dear listeners. Salam and peace and blessings to my co-host and panel here. You know, we have a wonderful panel. I appreciate working with Brother Michael and Brother Professor Rabbani Muhammad. And salam alaikum to both of you, and welcome. And Professor, we're going to defer right over to you. I wanted to do that brief introduction to set the table, so to speak, inshallah. And share with us some thoughts you may have, Professor, on Ramadan, your Ramadan, if you like, and how view this topic we are dealing with here.
Okay. Alaykum. In God's name, merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, we witness that there is no God worthy of worship than Allah, one who revealed the Quran to his servant Muhammad. Peace and blessings, Muhammad, prophet. Peace and blessings be upon him. May the prayers and peace be upon him. And we say that there's no God, there's no deity other than the one deity, God, Allah. We refer to God as Allah in Arabic. And we are very blessed that Allah showered his mercy on mankind by revealing the Quran during the month of Ramadan, in which that Quran was revealed to Muhammad, the prophet, his servant, messenger.
I mean.
So, and we also have a person to rise up out of our community, in the African-American community, who led us to understand and implement the Quran way that Muhammad the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, intended for to be practiced in a highly in society. And we also thank Allah for the help that that Imam W.D. Muhammad received in understanding and giving understanding to what we as Muslims, African-American Muslims, and all Muslims, and not only in America but throughout the world, need to counter some of the schemes that have been established and planted for bringing down the human being and the Muslim society. I'd also like to congratulate and then also make mention of the fact that our community in Philadelphia was attacked with Eid celebration. there were like 30-something rang out during the celebration of the Eid in Philadelphia. Only one person was, well, actually, there were few people who were injured, and one was shot and not, but was wounded, I would say, and that the response was excellent in reference to that Allah shielded the thousands of people that were there, and no one was killed, and the person who did the shooting was apprehended. And so we like to thank Allah for his mercy, and we hope that the people and the brothers and sisters in Philadelphia will be comforted and protected. What it was, you would see that community was protected by God, put Almighty Allah who would blanket over all of those people. And it was not a mass catastrophe. So we thank God for that. We know that is nothing but from Allah, that other people were not quickly injured. And so we see Allah working in the physical life. And we know that these are signs for us to develop our community life and to develop it thoroughly in every aspect. So the Quran is given to us to do just that, distinguish between what is right and wrong. Al-Qur'an, as you had mentioned earlier, the criteria that will allow us to distinguish the intent of the best life that we can live, and methodology, and to develop a discipline to maintain our mind and our thinking on God and God and the way Almighty God has established the human being to follow a natural path would lead that human being who takes it to the destiny in which God has planned for the human being, the gardens in which rivers flow, under which rivers flow, gardens, not one, many. So Ramadan, and I'm going to connect the fitra, the natural nature in which the human being was created, and discipline to lead it to its destiny. So month of Ramadan gives us this this fasting gives us this great discipline. And as you know, any professional athlete, or any athlete, whether it's professional or not, they practice. We have to practice in order to become the best we can be in that area of endeavor. So this is the month in which we practice building up that muscle, spiritual muscle, that physical muscle, to develop ourselves to meet the challenge in the schemes of Shaitan that are very flimsy, and we can easily identify them who are God-conscious. God-conscious and working to better the lives of the community life. That's what I think about Ramadan. That's what when we develop our activities during Ramadan, this is what we at least what I'm thinking about.
Thank you for that, Professor, and we appreciate that very much. Michael, please share with us some concerns you may have, some points you want to make on this topic for us, Fitra and this original pattern, how our Creator has bestowed on us such a beautiful practice, way to keep our lives in order. Please share with us.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum and Ramadan. Eid Eid Mubarak. Yes, sir. I was looking at the and listening to Professor Rabbani and the images that he brought to my mind, and my Ramadan, though I was unable to physically not fast, not eat or drink during the daylight hours, I was able to focus on the reading, or in my case, the listening to the Quran, and in some cases, reading the Quran, and focusing on God's instruction, giving us the focus of this being the month of the Quran and its design to help us to be better human beings, and to be more empathetic, to feel for the those that have less, particularly, you know, where we are consciously not eating or drinking and seeking to obey God in terms of how the Ramadan discipline is established. No wrangling, no arguing, you know, that we're to tell people if they insist on debating or arguing with us, to tell them, look, I'm fasting, you know, and seeking the rewards of Almighty God for that discipline. And lastly, I looked up the word hypocrisy, what, you know, the behavior of a hypocrite. And it says the practice of claiming to have moral standards or beliefs to which one's own behavior does not conform, pretense. And this Ramadan, we've been able to see the hypocrisy of those that claim to be Jews. We've been able to see the hypocrisy of those that claim to be Christians. And we've been able to see the hypocrisy of those that claim to be Muslim. And it's, you know, not just in this particular 29 or 30-day period of Ramadan, but throughout the year, you know, we have these people, and a lot, I'm seeing clearer the clear instruction connected with hypocrisy, but I'm just now making the connection. God says It's hateful to him. It's hateful to him that you say what you don't do.
Yes.
That's the definition I just read of hypocrisy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very serious matter, and we see how serious it is in terms of these people, and not all of them are in this focus, you know, of callousness and lack of empathy and just degenerate disrespect for human life. The Israeli government, they are not practicing Judaism the way Moses brought it to that group of people. And who would respect the claim of the Israeli government and those that follow them there in Israel and throughout the world here in America? Who would respect the claim of a chosen people of God in the light of the behavior that we're looking at? I certainly don't respect that claim. How could I? You know, you're disrespecting human life, the life that I think your scripture says, you know, the saving of one life is like saving the whole world, and the taking of one life is though you've taken the life of the world. I know the Christians have that. The Christians have that focus, and I'm pretty sure that they got it from the Old Testament scripture, the Jewish scripture. So, you know, there's a lot to be said, and I know I'm noticing that the leadership of the world, more than just about anything else, they don't want our human minds, our human intellect, our human sensitivities and sociabilities to connect with Mother Nature. They do so much to divert us away from the logic that we see in Mother Nature, you know, the logic, we've been told by Imam Muhammad, the creation supported logic.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And the creation is bigger than nature.
That's nature.
Yes,
that's what we're talking
about.
That's exactly what we're talking about.
And yes. I'll stop it right there.
How that fits into this. And certainly you brought up so many points, you know, and I was thinking in reference to, and I have to be a little humorous here. You know, I was listening to Imam Kareem. We were talking about eating till the white thread of dawn appears distinct from the black. I was telling him that, and he was talking about being moderate, you know. So I said, yeah, he's right. I should be moderate. And I cut out some of my rice. I said, no, just give me a little rice. We had iftar, you know, at the masjid. And as Shalom says, share some pictures of the gathering once I can get it forward to you all. I get over there to the eating area, and I'm eating, and all of a sudden something hit my plate. Saying, you know, my sight is not too good. They kind of be tricking me, I think. You know, put a big piece of chicken on my plate. I said, man, what is this? I said, I didn't ask for this. He said, I know if I'd have. I said, why you didn't ask me? If I would have asked you, you were going to say no. So, you know, put it on my plate. Look, I had to bring some of that food home. And, you know, and I'm trying to think about all the poor people who are not eating, especially with Michael. You were mentioning Palestine, you know, where they were starving the people out with such cruel and brutal treatment, you know. I think this is the first Ramadan that I didn't lose a lot of weight. You know, these people kept me feeding me. I couldn't get my own plate. Go sit down, I'll bring it to you. You know, next thing I know, I got a plate overflowing with food, man. Had to take it home, right? So being conscious of the poor, you know, being conscious of the needy. And that's what you were referencing, that the hypocrisy, they've dumbed down the feeling of empathy and sympathy for the needy. You know, but I said that with a little humor because, you know, the Khatib was talking about our Eid celebration, and he said we shouldn't let these people have us in grief and misery over these things because we know Allah is in control. Allah is handling this. It's being handled. And this is the Eid al-Fitr, returning to the Fitr. We celebrate that. We celebrate that Allah has given us in our deen, our way of life, mechanisms to bring us back to a sound, solid human being. And the efforts of the society to dumb us down, like this is what you were speaking of, Michael. They have dumbed down the human family to where we see violence and destruction as acceptable. It should never be acceptable that we accept these things. And we have to speak out. We have to speak out against this type of indifference to life. You know, the prophet last address, he said, your blood, your property, your honor are sacred possessions. They are sacred possessions. Life is sacred, and it shouldn't be viewed as dispensable. What is it, collateral damage, so to speak, what they use these terms. So let's take a break, inshallah, and we'll be back, and we'll delve into this original pattern, because it's certainly been altered and destroyed by the evil intent of the shaitanic thinking that's in the human family. These are no devils hiding behind the walls or somewhere up in closets and et cetera, et cetera. No, it's in the human being, this tendency to be evil in the human being and the need to control it. That's what Ramadan brings for us. You're listening to Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, inshallah.
God's peace be upon you. This is Muhammad Sharif. As we know, everything begins with the seed. Rain International is world leader in seed nutrition and the first to market seed-based products. Our flagship product is called Soul, S-O-U-L. The main ingredient is the black cumin seed. Here are a few reasons to drink Soul. Supports the healthy immune system. Give the body the boost to stay healthy and strong. Improve indigestion. Decrease infection. Remove inflammation and other benefits. This is an opportunity to improve your health and increase your wealth. Please call or text me at 914-434-375. Please join me in supporting CWSC, the Community-Wide Sugar Conference and AM 360, in remaking the world into a better place. We support the 50-year human family planning and look forward to doing business with you. Our website is raininternational.com. We are available at any time. Please call this number, 914-434-3275. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Sister Khalida Akbar Abdulaziz, Program Manager for American Muslim 360. CWSC is inspired by the visionary leadership of the late Imam W.D. Muhammad, Rahimahullah Alayh, and his proposition that our communities need a studious group of persons, or an intelligentsia, studying our history and circumstances and envisioning a brighter future for succeeding generations to live better in America. In 1999, an important step was taken to fulfill the shared vision of structuring an intelligentsia with a national think tank capable of serving first our community and then, eventually, national and global interests. We welcome you to American Muslim 360 listenership. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And we're back with the caller.
Yes, thank you, Michael. That was our program manager for AM 360, giving us that wonderful PSA. Your name and where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
This is Bilal. Alhamdulillah. If we want to secure our future in America, we need to establish institutions, Islamic learning institutions, for us and the generation to come, and the generation to come, and the generation to come. So praise be to Allah. It's a poem I wrote. I'd like to share. Making it in the land of plenty. Let get some money. Sincerity brings prosperity. Shiraz, reflecting on and continuing the goodness of Ramadan, getting the things we need to make us sound. Generational wealth might be found. Centering our mind, body, and soul, and preaching our wisdom, living what we know. Regularity in studying and giving, helping others to improve the way they are living. 6 days redeeming the shortcoming and the quality of the fast. Quality qualifying for zakat should become our task. Charity increase our faith. Common sense and spending will keep our families safe. God consciousness is good for business. Poverty is too much focus on blackness. Community life is indeed a test. Greed is a serious test. Once again, we're centering our mind, body, and soul, increasing in living, increasing in wisdom, living what we know. Assalamu alaikum.
Appreciate that, Bilal. Appreciate that, Bilal. And, you know, preparing to make it in the land of plenty is where we look at strategies for implementation of the principles of Islam and how they can bring about that reformation, that we want for the human family, because you know this we've been battling with the forces of evil so long that a lot of us are traumatized. We are trying to get back to our original self. That's the beauty of Islam. Allah has given us this for guidance to bring the human being back to his original self. So, Professor,
you know,
please share some thoughts with us. Go ahead, Bilal. You had something else you want to say?
Well, yes. You know, look. If we change our perception by acquiring more knowledge about Al-Islam, we'll think different. We'll think different about what we're doing. And if you think different about what you're doing, you see that motivation, that drive, and that urge that stimulated the character of Prophet Muhammad in the Sahabas during that time. You'll find out that hey, we weren't even viewing this thing to the point that we can be more energized. Learning and studying in religion, and the more you get to do that, the more you'll be able to see the greatness that Allah has in His oneness for us in creation. And it'll be a different world because you'll see it differently.
That's right.
You know, so praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah.
Thank you.
And Brother Rabbani, Eid Mubarak to you, brother. And I didn't call you up during Ramadan. And inshallah, we have a little talk on it a little later on, though. Alhamdulillah, I'd like to talk to you. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yes. So, Professor, we're going to circle back to you and let you share some thoughts you may have with us on this topic. Tell us about your Ramadan. Share with us some your activity. I know you was out there in the country.
Yeah,
in
nature, Ramadan.
At your nature reserve.
You know, the idea of Al-Islam is a community life, you know. So if you don't have a masjid, if you don't, and we know that the whole world is a masjid of Allah.
Yes, right.
When doing Tarawih or prayer, I was trying to figure out how I can get the blessings of the Tarawih or prayers, and I'm just by myself out here in the country, right?
Yes, sir.
So, well, I got to go out here and do some dawah and try to get some engagement with some Muslims or people who would be interested in. And so so I said, well, in order for me to do it now, I have to let me do this. I said, well, let me call DeLacy since he's going to the masjid down in where he's located, and tell him to keep the cell phone open so I can hear the imam set the prayer.
Well, let me tell this story. You ain't giving this story correctly. Look, you remember Michael? You remember we were talking, and I was talking about how we pray Tarawih at the masjid and stuff, and you know that was that last program before we were shut off last week, of course. And he said, you know, he nailed me down. Well, if you would call me and let me hook the speaker on, and you know I'm here bragging, then I wind up with a job to do, right? So I got him now. I was calling him too every night at Isha, because I was talking about if you pray the Prophet, peace be upon him, said if you pray the Isha prayer at night and the Fajr prayer in the morning in congregation, you get the reward of praying all night, right? So that then he had me nailed down, calling him up, hooking him up for Tarawih. And the Isha, Tarawih, and the Fajr. With the last 10 days, we did 7 days of it, you know, and 7 nights, you know. And I had to take a trip on the 27th and went to my wife, her daughter got married, and we had to go and travel to be with her for her wedding. But alhamdulillah, he had me hook him up. and share with them some thoughts on it, Professor.
Well, it was powerful because you know, when you don't have those tools to work with, you have to come up with a different a scenario. So,
yeah.
So
you remember, Michael, what he said, huh? that week. Where you remember, well, if you would call me, and I can get the benefit of congregation.
Exactly.
He's an opportunist, you know, bro. That's why I'm saying it, Michael.
No,
he's an opportunist. If you give him an opportunity to get good, he's going to grab it, you know?
Because, listen, when you get to our age, we don't know if we're going to see another Ramadan.
That's right.
So you have to use ways and means in order to develop your soul. So,
but you're listening to a man who never missed the opportunity to do good, Michael. I'm gonna share that with you. You know, Rabbani.
Yes,
that's who he is.
Eyewitness. That's the eyewitness.
Yeah.
I always look at it as walking through a field of diamonds to see how many diamonds you could pick up before you get called back. So you're greedy for good.
Yes,
greedy
sir.
For good.
So yes, sir.
I'm a greedy man for good.
Yeah. So
now I'll tell you. I wanted to touch on this point that. The human beings that are existing on this planet now, their souls are starving for peace. Their souls are starved. Now, to prove it, there was an eclipse that occurred last week, and this in the zone of totality, that's where you see the whole complete eclipse.
Yeah,
people were shedding tears.
A moment of emptiness, nothing. Yes, yes.
I said, now why? I said, do you know when you talk about those that have the light, those who have the light, the light is only going to be blocked out for a moment in life. It's dark, but then if you are patient, the light comes back, and. When the ancient Egyptians saw that eclipse, they were the worshippers of the Ra, which is the sun, and the moon, Isis, and once they crossed each other, it developed a cross. So the human being is always in need of the natural light, and that's where the Quran during Ramadan. And this occurred during Ramadan, of the sun. It's symbolic of knowledge and education. And the Quran revealed to educate mankind to its Lord and its purpose. So excuse me being greedy.
Yeah, but hey, you're thoughtful. You're thoughtful, and you gave me and my friend the opportunity.
That's right. To
earn blessings. You know, to earn
that's
those
right.
blessings.
You
know, so hey, this is the beauty of having such persons around. You know, because it spreads out. You know, this is sadaqa jariya. You get the benefit of ongoing sadaqa. From doing these good deeds, you know, and we have to be mindful of that. You know, I think sometimes we are too narrowed down in our thinking about these vast, important matters Allah has given us in these five principles and the power that they have to bring back and regenerate life. You know, there's an ayat in the Quran where Allah says, you were on the brink of the pit of fire and we saved you from it. Yes. That's the way the human family is. Look at what you were just saying, how people just crying for peace. The devil has worked so hard to destroy the human values and human content that people are just empty and hurt, and they know it's something I need. I can't put my finger on it. I just need a moment here.
Just want to mention one point, is that when I saw them, you know, I saw people shedding tears and saying, "Oh my God, oh my God." I said, when you see art, it's beautiful and excellent. You just don't stare at the art. What about the artists? If you say, "Oh my God," think about who created the sun and the moon and all the stars, all of these things.
Yeah.
And the people who first saw it, they wanted to make them gods. It was Ibrahim, who was the one that brought it into focus and pleased the Creator in his thinking and his reasoning and his intellect. So he was referred to as the father of higher education. Now all of the prophets came through his lineage or his school. Let me put it that way. And those were the prophets that came after Prophet Ibrahim that we refer to as the Abrahamic religions. You see, so.
Yes, all of
these things are tied together, and it's available for those who only want to please their Lord, not the hypocrite, not the hypocrite who says one thing out of his mouth and does the opposite.
You know,
and
I'm always reminded, on the believers there shall be no fear or grief. Believers there shall be no fear or grief. Certainly we're going to have disappointments, hard times, challenges. But we are supposed to be resilient and recover and keep up the faith, keep up the struggle. So, Michael, share some thoughts with us and take us to our PSA if we don't have a caller in the queue. Michael, you're on mute.
We do have a caller, and I would like to make a brief comment before we go to break. Caller, state your name, please. Bilal.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. Ibn Mubarak, this is Bilal. I'd like to share something about Night of Power also. I was in a garage. Basically, I had done all my tawee and my tahajjud prayer in this garage. So I'm sitting there, and it's Night of Power. I'm going to, I'm listening to all different kinds of tapes and different things else, and lectures by Imam Muhammad and different things. So Allah brought me to Imam Muhammad. It's a Night of Power that he did in 201 in Atlanta, Georgia. And I'm sitting there because I'm waiting. I'm waiting for this great feeling to come over me and my spirituality, and I'm going to be somewhere, you know. And Imam Muhammad said, look, he said, you're dealing with the Night of Power. And he said, you focus on your rational and your potentials to develop yourself for your development in this world and the community life that you want to have established. He said, yes, you ascend. You're going to ascend in your spirituality. He said, but you're coming back down on this plane, the earthly plane, to deal with the situation that you have to have with. And then when I heard that, I say all praises to Allah because I didn't really know what to look. I'm waiting for a great, you know, ascension of angels there, and I'm gonna get a great big feeling, then I'm gonna be somewhere else in my brain, and Allah say, nah, you here it is right here, your rational.
It sounds like you found it. It sounds like you caught
it. Yeah, look here, I was there.
All right.
Praise be to Allah. Yeah, I found it, brother. I found it. I was so glad that I found it, too. Let me tell you something.
The angels descend with all type of blessings.
Artificial intelligence. I'm trained in artificial intelligence because it ain't going to beat me, you know. So praise be to Allah. I consider artificial intelligence kind of like being my jinn and then want to be my friend at the same time. So, but anyway, though, praise be to Allah. That's what I'm going to
thank you, Bilal.
Thank you. Alhamdulillah. Yeah.
All right, Michael. Alhamdulillah.
I would,
What I'm looking at is the encouragement from Imam Muhammad that and there's Quranic support for if we just have a few. Imam, before he passed, the last lecture was this: be happy if you just have one or two people that you can work with. Be happy, and the nature of this way of life, and the history of the prophets. You know, they started receiving the message of guidance and help from God, and one by one, they attained the group that Allah wanted them to have to be supporters of God's truth and to establish, you know, the line of human development guided by Almighty God up to Prophet Muhammad, the last of the prophetic line. And so we are working within the office of Prophet Muhammad. We are not prophets, but as followers, we're passing that prophetic message of guidance. And we're told that it's personal. Allah is our God. The Quran is our Quran, our guidance. The Prophet is our Prophet. And the orientation, the Qibla, is our Qibla. So it's very personal, and we've been born again.
I'm saved, bro. That's right. You know, alhamdulillah. Allah gives us these things to save us, save His human creation. That's what those five principles do for us. If we embrace them and live them, we'll be saved from that. So let's take a break, Michael, inshallah. And you're listening to AM 360. The number one Islamic station in the nation. All right, very good. We'll be right back.
Inshallah, when I grow up, I'm going to join CWSC. I'm going to help remake the world for you and me. I'm going to be part of MCNRD and contribute my talent, my expertise. I'm going to apply for a CWSC scholarship someday in honor of a pioneer. I pray I grew up to be a leader, a strong woman, courageous with no fear. But until that day, I need you to stand in my place and be part of the group intellect until I can join the race. Visit CWSC.us. Because together, we can remake the world.
And we're back.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. And that's our young people for the future there. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from. Welcome to Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty.
Assalamu alaikum and Eid Mubarak. And
yeah, Eid Mubarak to you, brother Henry.
Great Ramadan. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah.
As Professor said, you know, we never know, so we have to learn to be thankful. And as Michael mentioned, I just wanted to call in and say that I definitely agree with that 1,000%. That if we just start learning to be more thankful. You know, I heard stories when I was coming up about children that had shoes, but they wasn't thankful. You know, they didn't like the shoes that they had, but they had shoes. And, you know, the story goes like, you know, I wasn't thankful for the shoes until I met a person who didn't have any shoes. And that person who didn't have any feet seemed to be more thankful and joyous than the person who was complaining about the shoes.
Mm.
So we have to think of these things. It may not be all that we think we should have, because that's the problem, you know. We think we ought to have more than what we got, therefore we don't be thankful for what Allah has blessed us with. But, you know, Muhammad the Prophet said, peace be upon him, he says, when you want to know how blessed you are, don't look up, look down. And if we look down to see those who got less than what we got, and believe you me, we'd probably never be at the exact bottom, because the one who think they're there, they got something to be thankful for too. But when we look down at others, that even though we may not have the shoes that we want, at least Allah has blessed us with our feet. And that's enough right there to be thankful for, even if you didn't have the shoes there. So, inshallah, this year and the rest of my life, I hope to be showing more appreciation for being thankful. Just thankful. I ain't got all that I thought I would have, or my goals or my plans and all of that. But I got to learn, I got to be thankful for what I got. And then Allah, you see, as Bilal was saying, that your eyes will become open and you will see things there, the riches that was there all the time. And you'll start looking at that field, as Professor said, as a diamond field. And it's just how many of these beautiful diamonds that I want to collect, so I can give account of. So I just wanted to add that to this beautiful conversation you all are having this morning.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Brother Henry. Yes, thank you very much. Eid Mubarak to you and your family and the believers there in Alabama. Yes, sir. Yes, you know, and just to mention, Allah tells us in the Quran, a very short ayat, if you are thankful, I will increase you. You know, such a, when I saw that ayat in the Quran, and I said, boy, that's all I got to do is be thankful to get increased. I mean, that's so easy, you know, but it's so difficult, you know. It's easy, but it's so difficult for some people to just be thankful. I love that song, by the way, Ma'am Kareem put on all the time, you got to be thankful. That's a wonderful reminder for us. Yes. So, Michael, where were we at? We were at your spot there for you to share with us some thoughts you may have.
Well, alhamdulillah, this has been a time of going back to the focus on the fitra, or the natural pattern of creation. The living, the life part of it, and the death part of it, you know, that it speaks to our soul, and it helps us to filter out the constant bombarding of Satan, you know, to distract us and to subtly place influences into the air or the language environment, to put influences there that will subtly invite us to be more and more selfish, more self-focused, and less focused on what God says we're in the world for. He says he's created us for service. Not that he needs service, but this, he has a will and plan. And this is something that we need to constantly be reminded, that there's nothing that God wants for us is going to pass us by. And there are things that are going to pass us by. And that's not only those good things that we are so, you know, we're so happy about, but the bitter life experiences. We're not going to pass us by, because Allah wants us to have that. The word resilience was mentioned. There are things inside of us that only the bitterness of life can bring out.
Yes.
And those things are to be brought out in service to God's plan. You know,
yes.
he, he, he's, He's called the whole people, and we're seeing it reenacted because God repeats things. We're seeing the suffering of a group of people, the Palestinians. And there are other groups in the world that are not getting that attention, that are suffering. They're innocent. But that process of bitterness is designed to bring out a spirit of gratitude and a willingness to want to endure whatever in order to be a catalyst for change for the better. And I'll
yes.
stop there.
Yeah, and I appreciate that, Michael. And you really hit home something very powerful. You know, but here you have a captured population of unarmed civilians. Women, then the masses of them are women and children. And you got a few rebels in there that raise all kind of hell and create problems that they can't handle. But, you know, you got a bunch of innocent people trapped in a prison camp, an open-air prison camp, a big prison camp, where here you got some slave drivers and slave owners taking their property from them, their houses. Whenever they want more land, they just push them into another corner, tear down their houses, put public parks on their houses there for them to enjoy, and surround them and with weapon armed persons where they can't make a move, get killed anytime they want. All not just on October 7th, but all the back in history, as long as I've been in the world, 75 years, 76 years, 1940, I was born in 1947, right? It just started in 1946, 48. And it was started before then. It was planned and plotted before then, but certainly in 1948, they just decided to get rid of 750,000 people scattered all around the world. They done ran out of the country, you know, running for their lives in fear because of all this weaponry that's been supplied by these Western governments that did this. You know, this is a co-conspiracy. It's not something that was just brought up. But what you mentioned, it's been happening all over, but never on this level. Never on this level where you had this type of weaponry, 2,000-pound bombs dropped on women and children. You know, this is unbelievable. This is something you would see in a horror movie or somewhere. You know,
exactly.
Wouldn't even see it in human. We wouldn't expect that human beings could be so callous to sit around and watch this kind of stuff. And this show you about now, see when Belair was talking about this artificial technology and all this stuff, that stuff has dumbed down the sensitivities of the whole world. And I'm speaking from scientific proof, because I was watching some persons who study the brain talk about how with electronics, the response in the center for empathy, 1 inch above your ear, there's a center in the brain that focus on empathy and sympathy. And it says, and they were talking about that when you apologize on the phone or on the air like we are now, maybe, you know, that part in the brain does not respond with you're on the phone, somebody say, oh, I'm sorry, I did you that, and et cetera, et cetera. Will you forgive me? And your person say, yes, I forgive you. Neither one of these persons have any activity in the brain. That is, they wire these brains up, right? Your heads up and with sensors to pay attention to how the person responds. It's been experimented with. And when it's done with electronics, no activity. When it's done face-to-face, a lot of brain activity is taking place. So, you know, if you want to handle serious matters, text messaging and all that stuff, you're wasting your time. You know, you're not doing anything. We thinking now we communicating and we doing this, but we've been dumbed down, simply put. Professor, share some thoughts with us, if you would.
Yeah. Oh,
I think that type of talk, they'll try to put you in jail
with that kind of talk.
Let them do it. I ain't got much time left.
But I'm saying, no. This is it. This is
I'm like you. I'm picking up gems. I ain't got time for that.
And people who can't even articulate truth to falsity. That's why Allah created us weak, and He developed a method to strengthen us. That when we develop the strength in all aspects of our makeup, our physical, mental, and spiritual, we can go back and help the weak. The thing is that, yes, you can't just say, Allah made us weak. But He didn't meant for you to stay weak for all of your life. Huh?
Yeah.
And you can see that. Look at the baby. Just don't say nothing. Just look at the baby and feed the baby. Physically, a baby will grow and get stronger and stronger, and will get stronger and stronger almost instantaneously in 3 or 4 months. Some of the babies be walking, coming out of the womb. You know, so this fear of loss, what is the hallmark of these people who want to control? They get you in debt. That's why debt is so very, very powerful in controlling the man's decision making, because he knows that if I bought this house for $750,000 or $1 million, how can I pay for it if I don't say what such and such politician want me to say? Then I'm going to be left out in the cold. So use that to bribe and to manipulate the course of action of governance in all of the environments. So you have to be. That's why it's a blessing to be free of debt.
Yes.
You know, and they establish a system of finance such as credit cards and credit. Just, you know, when we talk about credit, we're talking about frivolous impulsive.
And they just pulled a real trick on all the credit holders this past 2 years or so when they raised those interest rates. Many people into loss. It was unbelievable.
That's right.
Go ahead, Professor. Sorry to interrupt. But look at the trickery, like you mentioned it. Yeah, look how they manipulate you with it, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
So the first, I'm just speaking on myself. Now, the first thing, I have a credit card, but I pay it off.
Mm.
It's like I would go to the store and buy a bag of chips for $2.50. I don't think it costs $2.50 no more. But $4. You pay it. You know, and see, people don't even use cash anymore, and they make it easy for you. It's easy.
And some
for
people
you
don't take cash.
But no, use the car. Exactly.
Yeah. I was somewhere. I was somewhere just yesterday, and I couldn't pay cash. Yeah.
So that's what the idea is, to have it easy for you to spend. You know, a lot to say about a spendthrift. You know.
Mm. Yes, the brothers
know,
of the devil.
Of the That's right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
so now everything is involved. You know, when you talk about artificial intelligence, you have these commercials that, you know, even though you might not be hungry or thirsty, they'll come up with commercials that say, "Obey your thirst."
Yeah.
Obey your thirst. And you know, 2 for $4. Get 2 big old fat hamburgers for $4. Yeah, and then you can see the people, they have lost their concepts of their physical fitness, and you can see even young children are overweight and obese and have no sense of a healthy life or healthy being healthy. So again, you have to understand that this is an intricate scheme, an intricate web, a spider's web that is so intricate but very
flippancy. Yeah. And we have to be able to show our young people that, look, this is the scheme that they're establishing for rapping and rap music, so that you
yeah.
can lower your moral excellence. And don't care. You can shoot. Look at what happened. Young boy, he wants to. He doesn't like people doing decency, so he comes there with his weapon, and tries to shoot up the place.
And all those participants, Professor Rabbani, have been reported to be young Muslims.
Yes,
exactly.
That's why I was talking about the hypocrisy.
Mm-hmm,
15-year-old, yeah. You know, and Michael, you brought up something too in your conversation about how Allah gives us these situations to develop our moral fortitude. I'm going to use that language. You know that we have to we are challenged now, and now we have to come out of the challenge. Still a believer, still strong, still faithful, still true.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you know,
and
this
is... We've got a number of callers.
Yeah, so let's go to our callers. Sorry about that, callers. We're trying to get to this fitra. We're trying to get back home to this, where Allah wants us to be. Yes. So, caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Eid Mubarak.
This is for Rita. I'm sorry, you didn't call the number out, so I wasn't sure that it was me. But
you're in. We hear you clear, loud and clear.
The thing about the no cash, that's one of the New World Order things that, you know, that they're trying to put forth. And unfortunately, we got so lazy, it's so much easier to do things digitally. But that's what they're counting on. Because once they get rid of cash, then it's what President Kennedy warned us of, that we're going to be made slaves, that they're trying to make, you know, a slave. As you notice, banks are closing. People are not doing business in bank because they got so comfortable doing everything digitally. And that's what they're going to be banking on. And then they can, once all cash is gone, they can get us to do anything they want, because if we don't, then they're just going to, you know, click. You don't have access to your money.
Yeah.
So what we need to do is go back to the banks. We can still do some things digitally, but, I mean, like I asked her, why are you closing? And they were, well, we don't get much business anymore because people are doing things digital. No, we need to go back to the bank. We need to insist on keeping cash alive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only way we can get over that.
Yeah. You know, Zakat, the Islamic economic system. We have to develop our life. We can't let people be in charge of these valuable institutions that we need. We have to develop our lives. So thank you, Sister Farida, for that. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah.
Yes, let's go to the next caller. And Sister Farida, press 1. Go out. If you want to come back, press 1 again. Next caller, state your name, where you calling from.
This is Bilal Recall. We had another caller that you had, invite them to press 1 again. Come back into the conversation.
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum. Brother Rabbani, could you give us a little insight on what's going on with the Green Line, the
Credit
the Green Line? Green Line.
Great Line Community Incorporated. Mm-hmm. Yes,
yes.
We have just received our 501c3, and
we are now inquiring for any of the believers to join the Graceline community. The Graceline community, we won't get the terminology credit union until we have the field of membership met. The field of membership is just that you just that you're interested and that you're willing to join once we receive our certification. And once we receive our certification, then we are going. We will be having access to grants that the federal government would give us to start the credit union as a business entity. So we're asking for all Muslims to go to Graceline Community Incorporated .org and just join on to your own kind and do for self with this effort that this is Muslims, African-American Muslims, who have been working for 3 and 4 years to develop a excellent federal credit union that is supported by not only the federal government, but also we'll have where you can think Islamically as well as the traditional American banking system. You have a choice, and then you can then develop. We can begin to build up micro loans to larger loans, so that it can. And then we have a lot of visual activities, such as educational. How do you develop your maintain your estate that's free? That education. How do you develop a community development corporation? How do you build business and masjids? That's why I said business and masjids. I said business and masjids. Okay, did you hear that? Yes. Okay. So
Professor,
you can support
the school. Ask you a question?
Yes.
Can I ask you a question here? So, so what you're telling us is, and sharing with Bilal, is that we just have to go to that GracelineCommunity.org and fill out the field of membership. It doesn't cost us anything to do that. Just fill out the field of membership, and that process will give credibility to the effort so that we can speed up the opportunity to have the to have the certification. So thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Bilal.
I'm going to make sure that I have that on AM360. I'm going to constantly be putting it out there in the air on AM360 too.
We only need maybe 300 more people.
Okay.
Sign up as potential members.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much for that. Bilal, thank you for stimulating that interesting conversation. And Sister Farida, that hit right in on what you were talking about. We developing our own economic systems here so that we can be at least competitive. Michael, we have any other callers in the queue? And well, how about our time, Michael? Let me
Yes, we've got just a minute. We've got 9 minutes.
Okay.
And 914-434.
Yes, assalamu alaikum.
The mic is open.
Alaikum
assalam.
Yeah, this is
Muhammad Sharif. Yes, it's Muhammad Sharif.
Yes, sir.
Would you give that the information again, how you go to the Graceline for the membership?
Yes, Graceline Community Incorporated .org.
Graceline Community Incorporated .org, right?
Yes,
yes,
that's it.
Okay. All right, thank you
thank
very
you.
Much.
Yeah, thank
I
you, Mom.
All right, come
thank
off.
You. Thank you.
Assalamu
alaikum. Eid Mubarak.
Eid Mubarak to you, Mama. You and the family.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's it as far as the calling. We invite
writers
to press one.
Do for self and join unto your own kind. Where did you hear that from? Where did you hear that from, Michael?
Yeah. So praise be to
Allah. Washington,
D.C.,
Nation of Islam.
Yeah. So let me do a little summary here, inshallah, because I did want to make some connections for us with the iftar and with iftar, with Ramadan iftar and Eid al-Fitr. And, you know, and each day in Ramadan, the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon the Prophet, said, the believers shall have joy on two occasions. In the evening when he breaks his fast, and then and on the day of judgment when he meets his Lord. You know, and I was sitting at our iftar dinners in the evening once when the fast was broken, and you know, we had children fasting, we had elderly fasting and young people fasting, and once that fast was broken, you saw all of the happiness returning. You know, like, it, you know, everybody was a little slow at the end of the day and from working and fasting. And then when the fasting was broken, the area became lively with talk and laughter and enjoying the evening, enjoying company of each other. And I thought about that hadith. You know, and I mentioned it to her. I did mention it as well to the group, you know. The believer shall have on two occasions on the fast, two occasions they shall have joy. In the evening when they break their fast and on the day of judgment when they meet their Lord. From being obedient to Allah and obeying his invitation to us. Because it was an invitation from our Creator to be with, to follow his audiences and et cetera, on that night. And if you read those verses in chapter 2 of the Quran and 183 to about maybe 187, the ending verse says, and when my servants ask concerning me, I'm indeed near. I listen to the call of every suppliant. So let them with the will listen to my call. You know, so Allah invites us to be obedient to him for us to get the benefit from it. It's not, we don't benefit the Creator by obeying him, obeying Allah. We don't hurt him. He doesn't have any connection where our action can cause any loss or any gain for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's above all of that. And but we get the gain. So this practice during this month strengthens the believers. And you know, and then iftar is also from the term fitra. It means to return back to the fitra. In the evening time, we return back to that natural pattern of eating, drinking, doing all the things we do. But in addition, we do them with God consciousness by adding the recitation of the Quran and prayer to do that. And this should be a model through the year that we're going to keep up these valuable practices that brings us closer to our Creator, closer to our own self, bring us closer to our own natural self that Allah wants us to have. So now on the Eid, you know, when I first heard about the Eid, it was said it means returning happiness. That was the idea. And, you know, Eid does mean reoccurring, something that's reoccurring. And but look at that last word, fitra, Eid al-Fitr, reoccurring to the natural pattern, returning to the natural pattern, you know, and that's where that's what we want. And Rabbani mentioned how you saw these people crying on the eclipse. These people just want to get back to themselves. They want to have their life back. You know, and this society has a way of just stripping out the life. This is the plans of the shaitan to just create the environment where the life is just taken away. And Allah has given us these principles to give us the endurance, the patience, the perseverance, the strategy, the structure to defeat these plots and plans. So here we have this returning to the fitra. And I'll leave it there, and we'll make some more connections as we go along. But we time is on us. Go ahead,
Professor. Let me just make this last point. You know, the Philippines. That's the Philippines. The Philippine country. The Philippines. Islam is growing so large, so largely in the city of in the capital Manila, that you have. Before 2000, you couldn't find a masjid hardly in Manila, and now the president has written into the constitution that that they are allowed to build in throughout the Philippines how they wish, you know. And now you have Muslims, the Philippines, most of them were Catholic. Coming into Al Islam in droves in the Philippines.
Professor, also, we got 60 seconds. Wrap it up really quick.
That's it. That's all I wanted to say. So all get on the train.
So, Michael, go ahead and close us out, inshallah, please.
Allah, guide us among those you've guided to right. Save us among those you save. Bless us in whatever you give us and deliver us from the harm that you judge. You judge and none can judge against you, and those whom you befriend are not disgraced. Ameen.
Ameen. Thank you, dear listeners, for joining us in this presentation. We thoroughly enjoyed Ramadan, so Eid Mubarak to you all, listeners. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Eid Mubarak.